SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three of a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. You are watching all across the Sports Grid Network. We thank you for being here. And what a chaotic college football Friday it has become. Donnie, many updates in the last half an hour about potential Big Ten punishment being handed down to the Michigan Wolverines and head coach Jim Harbaugh before the maize and blue get ready to depart in just a few hours from Detroit and make the trip to State College, Pennsylvania, ahead of the top 10 tilt inside Beaver Stadium tomorrow against Penn State. Donnie, we asked the public at the end of our second hour, what was the most intriguing college football matchup of this week 11 Saturday? And by far, the public going with Penn State and Michigan. And there's four top 20 tilts, and that doesn't even include Oregon and USC tomorrow night in primetime inside Autzen Stadium. Donnie, so much to get to here as we get things going in hour number three.
Yes, and finally, this is what we wait for in the college football season. Everything else is fun every single week. You cheer on your favorite teams. The jokes of Michigan hasn't played anybody yet. They all come to a crescendo starting this weekend because now, as we take a look at who's going to make the playoffs, teams are playing teams to knock other teams out, and you love to see it here. And even though Penn State and Michigan is going to get most of the vibes here early on, and rightfully so, and also the off-the-field swirl might be just as good as the on-the-field swirl this weekend at Beaver Stadium. Ole Miss, Georgia is a big game down in the SEC. Huge. Utah, Washington, be careful here with the Utes defense surprising Washington, who quite frankly, yeah, they can score on everybody, but it's not as if they've been blowing the doors off of football teams weekly here, which includes the victory that they got over Oregon. And then you have USC and Oregon, where you know Oregon is on the outside looking in, waiting to pace and do damage, and what's in the future for USC after that football game. There's a lot of intrigue, but I always like to say this too. I love the fact, and I'll say it continuously, thank you, college football, for not waiting us wait around the entire day for the big games. Give us something every moment here that we can cheer on, because as soon as 12 o'clock starts tomorrow, people are going to be sitting in front of the TV ready for a great college football day tomorrow.
No doubt about it. That big noon kickoff is in Happy Valley between 10th-ranked Penn State and 3rd-ranked Michigan. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here to a Football Friday Live on the Early Line. I am Ben. He is Donnie. You're listening on Sirius XM Channel 159 and all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold. We are waiting notice, Donnie, if Jim Harbaugh will be the head coach on the sideline tomorrow when his Wolverines team plays their first-ranked opponent of the year, by far the toughest test Michigan has seen all of 2023. And this is a Michigan team, Donnie, ranked 3rd in the country by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee because of that subpar resume, but a team that is favored to win the national championship and an odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten. Donnie, the game itself would be sensational if it was just two teams facing off in State College in Happy Valley tomorrow. A top 10 tilt. It is even amplified by, of course, all the off-the-field sign-stealing saga that has played out for the Maize and Blue in the last 2.5 weeks. Donnie, just a couple of trends here for this game. This will be the first time Michigan is less than a 24-point favorite this year. The Wolverines, a 4.5-point favorite in Happy Valley. That speaks to the strength of their schedule so far and how dominant Michigan has been. They are 4-1-1 against the number in Big Ten play. Penn State, meanwhile, an underdog for just the second time. They did not cover as a dog on the road in Columbus a few weeks ago against Ohio State. But here at home, home field advantage, huge in this series over the last decade plus between the Maize and Blue and the Nittany Lions. The over-under, Donnie, pretty minimal, 45.5. It's two of the three best scoring defenses in all of the country. Donnie, from the football perspective, who do you think walks out of Happy Valley the happier side tomorrow afternoon?
here's the intriguing part of it overall, right? Like, Michigan, to me, even though I haven't played anybody, still is the better football team overall. And there's a couple different ways you can bet, because if you're looking at the ticket majority, yeah, it's coming in from the Michigan side. But that line at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, opened up at 5.5, now sits at 4.5, yep. Because it is a tough environment here. You do like the fact that Penn State already faced adversity against Ohio State. I do preface, they didn't play well in that game, but they were still in a big game environment. Michigan hasn't been tested all year, and it's always the things that we talk about. You know, hey, one team goes undefeated. Isn't it better to get a loss before you enter in their playoffs? They talk about that sometimes with NFL teams, which is ridiculous. Remember when the Patriots went undefeated in the regular season, lost in the Super Bowl, and people, oh, they should have lost a game in the regular season, so they take the edge off. That's nonsense here. But still, you look at a Penn State football team that James Franklin is at the helm. If you talk about trends, the trend is always Penn State doesn't win these football games. So if you say to yourself, it's a perfect scenario for Penn State to jump Michigan, I'm going to bet Penn State, the game ends up 24-7 Michigan. You go like, what am I, an idiot here? Because quite frankly, Ben, I was in the same boat when Penn State played Ohio State. Hey, Penn State's going to step up to the bell. And then by the third quarter, I'm making jokes about myself going like, why did I think Penn State would ever win this football game? They never win this football game. This is the time for Penn State to step up, because quite frankly, if James Franklin does lose this football game, I understand he's not going to move on. You're not going to say, hey, we're just going to get rid of James Franklin. But as a Penn State fan, what is your outlook on life at this point? Where you just say, okay, let me book my tickets for a New Year's Six game. It's never going to be a championship game. I don't understand where you go here if you're Penn State, if you lose this football game tomorrow.
Yeah, DRS, it's a great point. And maybe if Jim Harbaugh is not there, it's not necessarily the largest competitive advantage on the coaching side for the Nittany Lions. Why do I say that? James Franklin is 4-15 against Michigan and Ohio State in his time in State College. He is 3-16 against AP top 10 teams. He is 1-11 against the AP top 5. Michigan qualifies for all three of those categories. It is now or never for Penn State under James Franklin to pull off the slight home upset tomorrow and maybe, just maybe, play for a Big Ten Conference championship in a few weeks on that opening Saturday in December. Elsewhere, Donnie, let's fly through some of the marquee matchups that we have this weekend. Another top 10 tilt in between the hedges in Athens, Georgia. It is number 2 Georgia, number 9 Ole Miss, the Bulldogs, a 10.5 point favorite at home. Donnie, will this game be more competitive than a double-digit spread?
I hope it will be, but every time I see Georgia playing and I've got a game coming up, it feels like Georgia hasn't even played a road game yet this way. Look, I know they have played road games. It just seems like every time it feels like they're going to get tested, they are between the hedges, which is certainly tough to overcome. If I'm looking at anything from a Lane Kiffin game here, he's going to throw the kitchen sink at Georgia in this game. So a total is always what I look for. He's not coming out and being conservative in the first half and punting on fourth and twos. He's going to go for it here. We'll see if they get some success. But from a game perspective myself, I'm looking at points here. Because by the way, Georgia, no slouch on offense, man. Even though down one of their best football players, still able to move the football and get in the end zone.
And Ole Miss, not a great defense, allowing 23 points per game this year, more than 137 on the ground. Keep an eye on the rushing yards props. For Georgia, it's Dejon Edwards. On the other side, it's Quinshon Judkins, who I think goes over 62.5. More college football. The NBA in-season tournament can wait a little bit. Next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You might think, oh, all right. Hey, Ben, go, Ben, go. Oh, man, look at that. Food for thought right now. The producers are trying their best right now to throw me off. It's not going to work. You can change cameras. No. You can change rundowns. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. The show must absolutely go on. So I was going to open up with a nice little thought process. If you think the only football game is in Happy Valley, you are wrong. There are massive equations across the globe. I should say the globe, right? United States here, to try to set up this college football game. Utah and Washington. Let's get there. Look, we know the Penn State game starts at noon, but you're going to be feasting a little bit later. Utah and Washington, a number here that's actually dipping down. Some outlets actually showing an 8. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook listed at an 8.5. Why is that important?
Yeah.
It's down from 10.5. And a total, Ben, at the FanDuel Sportsbook that posted at 54.5, now down to 49.5. Michael Penix, leader in the clubhouse here, to possibly win a Heisman Trophy. Going to go up against a pretty good defense here. Some wind that's going to factor in here at Husky Stadium. Ben, what are we looking at? Utah and Washington. Could there be an upset brewing?
Donnie, that's the case right now. How windy is it? How does it affect the aerial attack of Michael Penix Jr. and this Washington offense? Because what Utah is always good at in the 19 years, the nearly two decades under head man Kyle Whittingham in Salt Lake, is physicality up front. They are the fifth best rushing defense in the country. They are the sixth best scoring defense in all of college football. Donnie, they don't give up a ton of passing yardage, but if there is a worse part of their defensive game plan, it is in the secondary, allowing more than 201 yards. And you're getting Michael Penix after he threw for less than 300 for the second time in three games last week on the road in Los Angeles. He threw for 256. Dylan Johnson, the tailback for the Huskies, ran for 256. You're not going to see that tomorrow at home in Seattle on Saturday afternoon for UW. And on the other side, Donnie, that's where Washington is going to be tested. They allow 153 rushing yards per game. That's fifth worst in the Pac-12 as a favorite this year in conference play, only 2-4 against the number. Utah has only been a dog once this year, Donnie. It was in L.A., on the road in the Coliseum against Southern Cal. They won outright. I mentioned the long tenure of Kyle Whittingham, tied for the second longest in college football alongside Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy, only behind Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. That's 19 years since 2005. Utah as an underdog in that span, Donnie, 40-25-2 ATS. They keep games tight. I don't think they pull off the outright upset, but north of a touchdown might be a little bit too much for the Huskies in their favor tomorrow.
Pac-12 after dark this Saturday night, one of those games you might have circled the calendar preseason and said this might decide the Pac-12. It's USC and it's Oregon, live from Autzen Stadium, 10:30 p.m. this Saturday night. A total that opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 7.5, and the betting public said nonsense. 74.5 now showing up at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Other outlets, Ben, showing 76s here across the board. The favorite in this game, obviously, it's Oregon. They opened up as a 14-point favorite. They've now moved north of a touchdown at 14.5, and other outlets also at 15 and 15.5 out there currently at this moment. There's a two-pronged attack here. Oregon, we know, is one of the best football teams in the country here. Do they want to pound USC? Absolutely they do, because every one of those bonus points might help them enough to get into the top four if things don't necessarily break in their right direction. But having said that about USC, team turmoil, maybe if they get hammered by Oregon, the questions start to arise saying, how can you have the best player in football and be coming up lame weekly here? Maybe they made an adjustment, Ben, on getting a new defensive coordinator, but if the players aren't changing, the scheme changing, I don't know if it's going to make a difference here. Does Oregon roll USC? Who does Caleb Williams get up off the carpet and say, now? Bo Nix, you might be trying to win the Heisman. That's actually my award, pal. I'm going to outduel you right here on this big stage.
Oregon rolls USC, Donnie, but my favorite bet is not laying 14.5, although the Ducks at home under Dan Lanning the last few seasons, now 9-2 against the spread as a home favorite. Oregon is the best scoring offense in the country, averaging 47.4 points per game. They will name their number against USC on Saturday night under the lights in Autzen. Dan Lanning is in the business of letting his team be dominant. Dan Lanning is in the business of letting his quarterback, Bo Nix, win the Heisman Trophy. The Bodacious campaign that started in early August will end in December as a Heisman finalist. The second best price right now, and I think there's an argument, Donnie, this is your last chance for value on Nix before he becomes the favorite, I think, following this weekend. But my favorite bet in this game, Donnie, is Bucky Irving, the talented running back for Oregon, against USC's dismal defense that does not change in 1 week because Alex Grinch is not there and they're terrible on the ground. Bucky Irving has ran for at least 83 yards in all six of the Pac-12 games the Ducks have played this year. He's averaging 101. His rushing yards prop is 96.5 against USC tomorrow night. He's going over that number.
Yes, and I agree with you there. We should get a lot of offense in that game. Will they get into the 80s? Well, that's going to be predicated on how much we actually get out of USC, because I do think Dan Lanning and Oregon are out for blood in this football game. Could be 50-plus on the board for the Oregon Ducks. If we keep moving down here, let's go to a top 20 tilt down in the SEC. Yeah. That's Tennessee and Missouri. One of those games where you might be bypassing, but this line actually opened up here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the home team as a favorite, Missouri Tigers, now flipping over to the Tennessee Volunteers as a slight favorite at -1.5, a total that opened up at 6.5, now down to 57.5. SEC action, 3:30 p.m. Tennessee, Missouri. Ben, what do we got?
This game screams over to me, Donnie, but it screams over so much I'm a little bit hesitant because of it. Now, Missouri did cover last week as a 2-touchdown dog against Georgia. Tennessee has Georgia next weekend at home on old Rocky Top. That is a game for the Vols that could decide the SEC championship. Both of these teams, Donnie, now have 2 conference losses. But if the Volunteers win this week and then pull the upset over Georgia next week, and somehow, some way, the Bulldogs lose this week to Ole Miss as well at home, which I do not expect, Tennessee would play for the SEC title. So still a glimmer of hope for the Volunteers. But Donnie, I actually believe that Missouri is the right side in this football game. The Tigers will have a tough task holding down Tennessee's rushing offense. And that's where the Volunteers have shined this year. Last year, Donnie, it was Hendon Hooker and a lethal passing attack that featured Jalin Hyatt, and when he was there at times as well. I can't think of his name right now. I'll come back to it in just a little bit. But Jalin Hyatt and a healthy, at the time, Hendon Hooker, when they were out there together, that was the strength of Tennessee's passing attack, averaging well over 300 passing yards per game. Joe Milton is not that. I think we have learned the sample size that Joe Milton is not some elite quarterback despite elite arm talent. Donnie, for Tennessee, it's on the ground. That's Missouri's test. Can they stifle the Volunteers or at least slow them down in that rushing attack to win this football game outright? And that's what you're looking at. I still think I lean over, but I'm a little bit scared, Donnie, to place that wager. By the time we get to this game tomorrow afternoon, that might change.
Yeah, it's going to be good to watch it play out. And again, what's the key word here is we're watching football play out here in a meaningful way, where teams that now think they could have won the SEC, could have won the Pac-12, could have won the Big Ten, have now been squeezed out just a bit. Just going to go back real quickly here to that Michigan-Penn State game and the ramifications that it might have. Let's just say Penn State does pull that upset. The Tuesday college football playoff show, where will Penn State enter into the equation, and where will Michigan possibly fall, Ben?
I don't think by much, Donnie, but I think given that the committee so far has really placed an emphasis on the head-to-head, Penn State would probably be 5, Michigan maybe 6. I do think the committee that has kept Michigan from that top spot or even number 2 based on the strength of resume, if Michigan falters in their only ranked game so far this year, the only game against an opponent that is inside the ESPN top 40, well, then I think Michigan would fall maybe just a little bit. But I think Penn State would probably be 5 or 6, Michigan a spot or 2 behind them, depending on what happens elsewhere in the country. Donnie, now we turn our attention, despite this being a football Friday, to the hardwood. A quick college basketball breakdown, and then a ton in the in-season NBA tournament. It's night number 2 of the in-season tourney, and Donnie is fired up. We talk about it next year on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie, the 2023-24 college basketball season is 4 days old at this point. On the women's side, including a doubleheader last night, we have seen 5 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts. Tonight It's the first one in men's college basketball. It is Duke and Arizona facing off tonight inside Cameron Indoor. Not a neutral floor, inside Durham, North Carolina. Donnie, the Blue Devils, a 5.5-point favorite against Tommy Lloyd's Wildcats. The over-under, 154.5. Again, it's the first ranked versus ranked matchup this year in college hoops.
Yeah, and again, we don't have a lot to go off of. Hey, they were really impressive in game number ones. No kidding, they were supposed to be there. But the one thing that you can factor in on, Arizona West Coast team coming east, that is going to be a raucous environment at Duke. They're going to be ready for this basketball game, and the Cameron Crazies are going to get their first taste of big-time college basketball here in 2023-2024. If I'm just looking at it simplistically here, I'm going to take Duke. That's the way I'm going to go in this basketball game. It's not based on a handicap, because there is no handicap. Both of these teams are really good. But also, when you're trying to break down Arizona, the one guy that catches your attention, probably Caleb Love. Hey, that's North Carolina's Caleb Love. No, it's not. It's Arizona's Caleb Love, who's been notorious here playing Duke there in Cameron. We'll see if that plays out. We'll see if he has any of that swag brought back. But I'm going Duke here. I think they're going to handle their business tonight in a big matchup.
Caleb Love, the dagger three in the Final Four 2 years ago now, that ended Coach K's career at Duke. The triumph for North Carolina. Now he's out in Tucson playing for Arizona. The line working to Duke, as you saw, 4.5 overnight, now 5 in a hook. Two more big college basketball games on this Friday as well, Donnie. SEC Big Ten showdowns. First up in Columbus, Ohio State against 15th ranked A&M. The Buckeyes a slight 1.5-point favorite against the Aggies. I would look at Buzz Williams' side. Ferocity on defense as the slight underdog. I think Ohio State's going to be middle of the pack in the Big Ten and better than they were a season ago. A talented freshman class back for their sophomore season. But I would look at Texas A&M in this spot. And then, Donnie, Wisconsin and Tennessee. Tennessee, a top 10 team in the country. Rick Barnes, they play really good defense. One of the most efficient defenses in the country a season ago. The Badgers scored 105 points in their season opener. They have the fourth most returning minutes production in all of college basketball from a season ago. That's going to be a great game. The Volunteers, a road 2.5-point favorite. All right, Donnie, night number two of the NBA in-season tournament. How does LeBron James feel in year number 21 of his career in his first in-season tournament game? The Suns, a 3.5-point favorite at home in Phoenix tonight against those LA Lakers. The over-under, 225. Donnie, in-season tournament action once again. What do you like?
Devin Booker looks like he doesn't care about any in-season action here, quite frankly. When does the season feel like it's even going to begin? Because as you take a look at the anticipated starting lineup tonight for those Suns at home, Beal, Allen, Bates, Diop, Durant, and Nurkic. Still no Devin Booker is waiting to, I believe it's an ankle injury that he has. But the one thing that we do know is the only championship that LeBron James and the Lakers might be able to take down could be the in-season tournament, because the way they've been playing basketball with LeBron James basically playing 48 minutes a night, that's not going to last year. But it looks like here, hey, Anthony Davis expected to be back into the lineup for the Los Angeles Lakers. I got to be honest. I don't really know where I'm supposed to go in this game because, yeah, we love Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal played last game but dipped out in overtime. There's no Devin Booker. I got to tell you, I'm probably going to take the points in this game with the Los Angeles Lakers. If I know I'm getting Anthony Davis and LeBron James in the lineup, at least they'll be there. I don't know what to expect out of this Phoenix lineup yet. It's almost like their season hasn't even started yet because they're not whole on that offensive front.
Yeah, DRS, I'm not so sure either. The trend's not great here for either side. The Suns just 2-3 against the spread as a favorite this year. The Lakers as a dog against the Nuggets on the road in Sacramento and against Miami earlier this week. They are 0-3 straight up, 1-2 ATS. They got the benefit of being a 1.5-point underdog against Miami and covered because they lost by only one. But the Lakers are now 3-5 this year. They have dropped three consecutive games. This is the debut in the NBA in-season tournament for a ton of teams on this Friday. Again, remember the structure. Four Fridays in November, including last week and this one, so two more to go. And I believe this upcoming Tuesday, Donnie, that's when we get some midweek games in the NBA in-season tournament as well. The Mavericks have already played in the in-season tournament. These games do count to your regular season record as well. Kyrie Irving was not going to miss that one, except he didn't get the win for the Mavericks in that opener in the in-season tournament, losing by a ton, 11 points, I believe it was, on the road in the Mile High City last Friday against Denver. The Mavs, a slight favorite here, minus 118. They lost outright as a five-point favorite earlier this week at home against the Raptors. James Harden, his first NBA in-season tournament game, Donnie, in his career, as well as the rest of the Clips, but they've lost both games with Harden as a member of this team out there on the floor. They haven't even reached the century mark, 100 points yet, with the beard in the fold.
By the way, also, if these teams are all playing four games here in this championship, in-season championship, if everybody ends up 2-2, do they go to a random truck stop in Midland, Texas, and flip a coin to see if they are going to advance here? That's what I want to see some of the tiebreakers break down to. But having said that about this game, Mavericks and the Clippers, how are we trusting the Clippers already? You just can't do it. Also, the respect that the Clippers continue to get here, even though on paper, that is a championship roster, right now that hasn't turned into W's here on the court. Going into New York City, losing to the Knicks, then losing to the Brooklyn Nets. Now going on the road, taking on a pretty good opponent here in the Dallas Mavericks. As long as I'm getting Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in that basketball game, I'm trusting those two more than any of the superstars that the Clippers have right now. Clippers, you got to show me you're in it to win it before I'm going to start backing you, particularly in a game where you're not getting 5.5 points. You're basically almost the favorite in this one, a slight favorite here to the Mavericks at -1.5.
You got to see how that offensive rotation is working together. Again, they have not even reached 100 yet with James Harden in the fold. Elsewhere, Donnie, the Minnesota Timberwolves have been a surprising team so far here in the opening couple of weeks of this NBA season. The T-Wolves handed the Celtics their first loss of the year. Minnesota's won 4 in a row. They're 5-2, and they're a 6.5-point favorite on the road tonight against Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. Anthony Edwards' jersey, I believe, was on the left. I think he's number 5 once again. Victor Wembanyama, his jersey on the right. Wemby returning, Donnie, from a disappointing debut in the Garden back in San Antonio tonight. If the Spurs have lost a game this year and they have lost 5, they haven't covered. They only cover when they win outright, including twice as a dog. But Donnie, I'm looking at Anthony Edwards, over 26.5 points, a number he has been over in 3 of the last 5 for Minnesota, and the 2 times under, never less than 24. I think the Ant-Man has a big night tonight in San Antonio.
Yeah, he does. And by the way, in the games that he's played, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 games, he's shot at least 20 times from the field.
Yeah.
He is the go-getter there for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think you brought up the appropriate topic here. Do you think the Spurs can win this game? For me, I don't. So what happens when the Spurs lose basketball games? It's typically not close. Give me the Minnesota Timberwolves here to get the win and cover against the San Antonio Spurs.
Sacktown Showdown in California's capital. It's the Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The line working right now back to OKC, Donnie. The Thunder, a slight 1.5-point road favorite, minus 124 on that money line. What does Shai Gilgeous-Alexander do for an encore after 43 points now that he is back healthy and returning to this OKC lineup?
Yeah, you got to love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. By the way, I mean, I just wish they would just let that guy spin here. What I mean by that is let him play the full season, because I've been half-heartedly joking about him being an MVP candidate. Why can't he be? If he's going to drop 30-plus every single night and now OKC is ready to be a formidable opponent on a night-to-night basis, why can't he get after it? It's one of my favorite basketball teams here. So just out of being a favorite, I'm going to lay the 2.5 points in that basketball game, and I'm going to cheer on my boys from OKC tonight.
DRS, Josh Giddey has burned me many a time this year. What?
Is that game this weekend or is that game? Oh, tonight. Gotcha. I thought we skipped that. I'm sorry.
No. You're going to be sleeping. You're going to be well asleep by the time that game tips off on this Friday night.
I might wake up.
Up and ready for it. By the way, in-season tournament game for OKC last week, they lost by 2 in a controversial ending against Steph Curry and the Dubs. I bet Josh Giddey to have 8 or more rebounds. It was the only leg of 4 I lost in an in-season tournament same game parlay that I felt great about. 4.5 assists for Giddey tonight. That's it. A number he went over in the last game with SGA back in the fold, 6 dimes. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's points prop tonight, 30.5. Now, Donnie, how about those Brooklyn Nets? A perfect 6-0 against the spread this year as an underdog, and they are going to be the dog tonight in Boston. The Nets, a 12-point dog, in fact, against the Boston Celtics. The over-under, 227.5 now, Donnie. What do you make of this game? Can the Celtics cover?
Yeah, I got one report that says Ben Simmons is going to play tonight. The other one that says he's out for tonight. But I don't really think it's going to come down to Ben Simmons getting his 10 rebounds, making a difference in this one. The one thing I do know about the Boston Celtics, looking to right the ship here, and they probably will be able to do that at the Garden. I'm looking for big performances because every once in a while, when you take a look at Brown, bad performance last game, Tatum a little bit underperforming. Those two guys are going to step up. Celtics in a big victory tonight up in the Boston Garden.
DRS, the Philadelphia 76ers have won five straight games. They are alongside the Seas with the best record in the East. They have covered in all six of their games this year. The 76ers, a 9-point favorite on the road tonight against Detroit, who started off the Monty Williams era, Donnie, winning two of their first three games, booked as an underdog, and they covered in all three. Now they've lost six in a row. They've only covered once. It was most recently a few nights ago against Milwaukee, covering as a 12-point dog. A ton of in-season tournament NBA games to break down tonight. I'm sure Kevin Walsh has you covered on Game Time Decisions. We give you our NFL Week 10 Sunday slate pick six up next, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie, we talked so much NFL in the first opening hour and a half of this show on a Football Friday that I almost feel like we forgot the NFL is happening this weekend. It is a Football Friday, and we are back in the National Football League because by the time Sunday comes around and the Week 10 Sunday slate kicks off early in Frankfurt, that will be the focus. We do the pick six here on this Football Friday. What does that mean? A TD score that we like at any time, touchdown price, a money line underdog, our favorite under of the weekend, an alt line that tickles the fancy with some plus money, a yardage prop, and then we combine forces for a two-leg six-point teaser here in the pick six. Donnie, who is finding the end zone? You've been all over the anytime TD prop so far this season.
Let's do it. Keep it in that high price because sometimes I'll take a minus 160, minus 170 if it means taking Christian McCaffrey. Again, I think scores this weekend. His number is a little bit expensive. Doesn't matter. As I like to say, you don't pay any juice if the bet hits here. But that's not where I'm going in this one. I'm going to go Taysom Hill once again. He scored four straight weeks here, Ben, doing it all different ways. Now, granted, you don't get paid if he throws a touchdown pass, which he has done. But you do get paid if he runs one in, which he's done, or if he catches a touchdown pass. Let me be clear on this because once you get into the red zone for the New Orleans Saints, he comes in the game. Typically, quarterbacks, you'd have to fight, kick, and drag to get them out of the huddle to say, I want to pad my statistics. But apparently, that doesn't matter in New Orleans. When they get inside the 5-yard line and 10, he comes in and he likes to run the football. He's not being priced accordingly right now, and he's going to find pay dirt again. A plus 210 price for Taysom Hill to score this weekend. I absolutely love it.
DRS, when I put in my anytime TD score yesterday in the pick six as we were getting this show ready, there was not a price out just yet for the Cowboys and the Giants, a 17.5-point number in favor of Dallas, the over-under 39.5. But I wanted Jake Ferguson, the second-year tight end out of Wisconsin, who is quickly becoming maybe that second threat through the aerial attack behind CeeDee Lamb for Dallas. He has scored each of the last 2 weeks, and Donnie, that plus 210 number for Ferguson to make it 3 weeks in a row, the same as you had on Taysom Hill. Beautiful. Last week in Philly against the Eagles, 7 grabs, 10 targets, 91 yards for Ferguson, and a touchdown. I think he scores again in a game that will feature scoring. It's all just going to come, Donnie, from the Dallas side of things.
Yes, and also you're replacing a very good tight end that you had last year that left via free agency, and you got to replace him with somebody. Tight end's a key cog in the ingredient for the Dallas Cowboys, and you're right. Yes, Dallas will score. You just hope he gets that early because late in the game, we don't know how much throwing that the Dallas Cowboys will be in. So even if you could take, I know some outlets there would have like a first half touchdown, that probably makes a ton of sense for Ferguson.
First touchdown score, we will see. Ooh. Donnie, money line underdog of the weekend. Who's winning outright? Who's going barking?
Yeah, there's a couple games I wanted to take a look at in this one, because you know my affinity here for the Jacksonville Jaguars this week, and I do think there's a legitimate chance they can knock off the 49ers, but I'm just being honest. Look, Detroit still has some question marks for me, and a lot of those question marks were born out of going on the road to take on Baltimore and not even showing up. I'm not saying the Chargers are a fantastic football team, but the Chargers at home, back-to-back wins here. I think I'm getting a pretty solid price here, plus 134 for the Chargers to pull the mild upset here over the Detroit Lions for me.
Yeah, Donnie, I think that's a spot a lot of people are going to look at. I agree with you that the Lions each and every week have to pass a litmus test because they're trying to do something we haven't seen in three decades, win a divisional crown in the NFL. Are they really that divisional front runner? Are they a true conference and Super Bowl champion contender? We'll find out. But when I look at the Lions, Donnie, the games that they have underperformed, including that one in Baltimore, they were booked as the dog. I've got more questions about the Chargers than I do about the Lions, but the thought process does make sense. Donnie, they are thankfully a money line underdog, but not by much. The Tennessee Titans, even money, plus 100 on the road in Tampa this upcoming Sunday. Listen, the Buccaneers are the team we expected that we are seeing now before the year got underway. 6.5 was the win total. They started off winning 3 of their first 4. They have now lost 4 straight. Tennessee, meanwhile, Donnie, is giving the nod to Will Levis. I had my questions about Levis being a first-round pick or one of the first couple of quarterbacks off the board in 2023. But he has proven me wrong with his ability to get up to speed quickly in the NFL. Yes, last week wasn't nearly as prolific or historic in Pittsburgh, but it was his first road start against a really good Steelers defense. And he looked comfortable despite throwing a late interception and not a single touchdown toss. I trust him more than I trust Baker Mayfield, and I trust Mike Vrabel a crap ton more than I trust Todd Bowles. As an underdog under Vrabel since 2018, now in a year number 6 as the head man in Nashville, Tennessee, Donnie, is 29-19-1 against the spread as an underdog. The Titans have won 26 times outright, a winning record outright as an underdog, 26-23. Tennessee outright on Sunday in Tampa.
I like the way it goes there, and I do think there's a legitimate chance they have that. And also, I do think there is some chance for scoring in that football game. I think Will Love is throwing deep in that game, as well as Derrick Henry in the backfield. So you might have some juices going between Baker Mayfield, who you know will mix it up and throw an interception or two along with a touchdown pass. I think that game does go over the total. I'm going to keep it moving here, Ben, and go with my under of the week. It's the Colts and the Patriots from Germany here. Now, you don't have to, you can say to yourself, the Indianapolis Colts have a bad defense, but you still need offensive weapons to exploit those bad defenses here. Case in point, let's go further than last week alone here. The Carolina Panthers are horrendous on offense. The Carolina Panthers remind me a lot of the New England Patriots, who couldn't do anything against that Colts defense. I just think it's going to be a stalemate in this football game, and quite frankly, I'm shocked it's at 43.5. I figured it'd be around 38.5 for this football game. I do like the offense technically here for the Indianapolis Colts. I think they'll be able to move the football against a damaged, beaten up, and broken team for the New England Patriots on defense, but the offense is here. There's no high wire effect here for the New England Patriots. They're going to move with 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That clock is going to run. Overseas unders are certainly in play over the past couple years, and I'll ride that out. Under 43.5 for me.
Donnie, the Pats have gone under in 6 of 9. The Colts have gone over in 6 of their opening 9 games of this year. I loved the over. It was a part of the alt line last week for Indy and Carolina in Charlotte. Didn't come through, and it stayed under the pregame number of 41.5. Donnie, there was 40 points scored between the Colts and the Panthers last week. Only 27 of them offensively, because the Colts, 26 offensively, because the Colts took 2 pick sixes back against Bryce Young, who threw 3 INTs. I agree, Donnie. When you look at the Pats, this total of 43.5 is the highest they have seen since week number 2 outside of the total against Miami, but that's all because of the Dolphins and the Finns scoring 31 points. The Pats have scored 17 points or less, Donnie, in all but 2 games this year. I think 43.5 and looking to the under in the early start in Frankfurt is the way to go. Remember, last week's total was 51.5 between the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Much better offenses stayed under by a considerable margin, 21-14 the final. I'm going Giants team total under 10.5 points. Donnie, we talked about this in the initial breakdown with Mike Blewett. I would jump on it now because the under's got the hefty juice already. I would not be surprised to see this at a flat 10 or maybe even 9.5 by the time we get to Sunday afternoon. The Giants have been under this number in 3 of their last 4 games, 5 of 9 in total this year. The Cowboys have a really good defense, and they have beat up on teams defensively that have struggled, including shutting out the New York Giants the opening weekend of the year. And that was Daniel Jones and a relatively healthy offensive line and a healthy Saquon Barkley. It's Tommy DeVito getting the start on Sunday. New York Giants team total under 10.5. That's where I look. All right, alt line time, Donnie. Where are you going?
Alt line for me, I'm going to take a total here with two really good defenses. And why I think this game is going to go over the total, that's between the Browns and the Ravens, is the fact is I like both of these offenses here. I love the fact that Deshaun Watson came back last week. And also, we're not saying to ourselves, hey, we got to get over 54.5 points. That's not the case here. The alt line I'm going with, 42.5 at a plus 158 number. The Baltimore Ravens have been sensational at home scoring. And quite frankly, over the past couple weeks, routinely getting into the 30s. Do I think they can get to the 30s against the Browns? Maybe so, but if we're talking about they can get to 24 points, I'm taking this total down because I do think the Baltimore Ravens will win the game. So if we preface this and say 27-20 final, easily goes over that total and catches a nice number at a plus 158 for me, Bet.
Yeah, Donnie, it's a great point. You're not asking for a shootout. You're not asking for north of 50. The total is as low as it is because of the elite defenses on both sides. The Ravens, the best scoring defense in the NFL, the only team holding opponents to less than 2 touchdowns per game on average. And the Browns, not far behind, third best scoring defense in the National Football League. Donnie, the autumn wind is a pirate, and then the autumn wind is a raider, pillaging as they may. I think that continues in Las Vegas on Sunday Night Football. The Raiders are the slight underdog in terms of the money line right now. Just take it to where it's still under a field goal. Las Vegas laying 2.5. It's plus 112. I think the Raiders win this game, Donnie. In the Raiders' 4 wins this year, they've held the opposing offense to 17 points or less. The Jets have scored more than 17 points just 3 times this year. And why were they so abysmal last week against the Chargers offense that also stunk? Is because they can't protect Zach Wilson at this moment, and the offensive line is not getting much healthier, only on 6 days rest. And Max Crosby is on the other side for Las Vegas. I think Zach Wilson struggles. I think the offense struggles for the Jets once again. And there's a different sentiment and mentality of this Raiders organization at this moment, Donnie. They puff cigars, not because they beat the Giants, but because Antonio Pierce is now the head man. Raiders, -2.5, plus 112. A yardage prop as you smirk at my alt line pick, Donnie Wrightside.
Yeah, exactly. You take a look there at like a cigar that you light up. You smoked them last week. Let's go to the cartoon ones where you light up and they blow up in your face here. I think that's what's going to happen here for the Vegas Raiders. But that's the fun of it. If we all agreed on situations, the show wouldn't be any fun. Let's go ahead and take a yardage prop from it. It's Tony Pollard. The simple fact is they might only have to hand the football up for the remaining parts of the second, third, and fourth quarter. Pollard hasn't had a great season. You want to keep your superstar players happy. This is one of those games where they say, hey, you know what, Tony? We're inside the 5. You do get the touchdown here. Hey, you know what? Let's give you an extra couple carries to get you over that century mark to get those good vibes going late in the season. Dallas is going to roll, absolutely roll the Giants this weekend, and Pollard's going to roll up some yards as well.
Donnie, I like the look for Tony Pollard. The Giants actually have been pretty good as an underdog in the last month. They're 3-1 against the number, and the defense was a main reason why. But I just don't see them being a lot of life out there, especially because on the other side, Tommy DeVito might be in for some struggles against the Dallas Cowboys. All right, the 6-point teaser to finish things out. Donnie, I think the Bengals win outright. I think the Bengals even cover by 6.5 points at home against the Texans with a step up in competition for Houston. But I'll just make it easy. I'll take the 6 points off, make it a pick for the Bengals, 6.5 down to a half. But really, it's just a pick 'em. Cincy outright on Sunday.
I like where you're going with that one, because I do think Cincinnati wins that game comfortably here. But by the way, the Dallas Cowboys game, real quick, they do have an in-house DJ that sits in the end zone on his own DJ platform, DJ Tommy DeVito, by the third or fourth quarter on the ones and twos out there, since the game is going to be a wrap. Watch out for that here. Jersey Shore's finest. I'm going to go with the Jaguars. Take the plus nine against the 49ers. I can't wait to watch that football game play out. I'm hoping the Jacksonville Jaguars win, because what it'll mean for the Jags in the AFC and also those 49ers, they'll probably move ahead of the Eagles in the betting markets if they lose their fourth straight, to be honest.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Donnie. But I think that's such a strong San Francisco line. I appreciate taking it up with Jacksonville through two key numbers. I forgot my yardage prop. It's Jared Goff over 274.5. I'll break down why for a best bet for the weekend on the other side of the break here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line, and closing out our 3 hours together today and for the week here across the Sports Grid Network. I'm Ben. He is Donnie. The Sports Grid app, though, never leaves. You can download it at the Apple and the Play Store by scanning the QR code on your screen right now. 5-star plays each and every day to set you up for this weekend. We give you a best bet as well. Before we say goodbye and farewell, it is now time for Bye Bye Bye. Donnie right side, what we looking at on this Friday, setting the stage for the weekend.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to go till Saturday here. It's Michigan and Penn State here. And I told you, like, everybody's rooting for Penn State outside of Ann Arbor is probably the case here. But you know what? I like the over the total in this game, Ben, 45 points. The reason being is I love the fact that Penn State played in that game in the horseshoe against an elite defense at Ohio State and struggled. They should be able to make the necessary adjustments to get them around 20 points versus Michigan. And if Michigan wins this football game and it's 25-20, you take it down with that low score. I'm going over the total in State College tomorrow, Michigan and Penn State.
Penn State must play fast. Penn State must get out from the jump. If they play in the trailing position, that favors Michigan in such a large way. This is the time for James Franklin at the helm of this Nittany Lion football program. He is 4-15 in his Penn State career since 2014 against Michigan and Ohio State. If you see a random guy walking around South Jersey, walking dogs and yelling, "We are..." It's Donnie right side. Give him back a Penn State cheers on the other side. Donnie, Jared Goff, over 274.5 passing yards. I think the Lions make a statement in SoFi on Sunday, and the Chargers had the worst passing defense in the National Football League. Goff has also been over this number in two of the last three, the only time under 272 in a rout of the Raiders. Jared Goff should be a part of the MVP conversation. And Donnie, I would be doing everybody a disservice if I did not mention history. Under 28.5, Iowa and Rutgers tomorrow, the lowest FBS total ever. He's Donnie. I'm Ben. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend.